Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're beginning around verse 20. Okay, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Okay, and verse 21, unto him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Okay, finishing up, okay, chapter 3 here. Okay, the Apostle Paul touched on quite a few things. Okay, as considering the design purpose, okay, for the church to understand the tethering to the throne and the work of the ministering angels. We saw that around verse 9. Okay, and verse 10. Okay, that they will continually unfold to the church the mystery of Christ, okay, and how we can continually participate and be responsible to him, because he created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay, who is the divine pattern or the mystery, okay, of this God code. Okay, and also, okay, just to bring us up to speed here a little bit, okay, that we can see that the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He said that in verse 15. Okay, which speaks of the joining, okay, of these two communities of two different dimensions. Okay, that which is in heaven, the spiritual, and that which is in earth, the natural. Okay, that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that we continue to reflect, okay, the image of Christ in our faith to that which is revealed. Okay, and because of this, in verse 16, we touched on this momentarily, okay, that he will continually enrich in our understanding. Okay, and through this enrichment of his grace, okay, he will strengthen us, because this is what assists us in our obedience. Okay, and this is also what we set before us in our obedience, not becoming double-minded. Now, this is what Paul brought out in Philippians, which we discussed that last time. Okay, and that was in Philippians chapter 2. Okay, in Philippians chapter 2, he uses the same language concerning strengthened. Okay, but this is what we're being obedient to for our salvation. Okay, and he brings out in verse 13, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. There's the word pleasure there, which he also brings out in Revelation. He created all things for his pleasure. Okay, everything that he created is a portion of himself, and it images his likeness. He images his likeness and also the unfolding of this mystery, the mystery of his plan. Now, last time we also talked about the word vow, V-O-W, okay, and the word vow, which has to do with the voice, the oath, and his word, which are one. Okay, the voice, his oath, and his word are one. This is his grace, okay, which is embodied with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, this grace which he provides for us, okay, works his good pleasure. And that which he has provided for us is what we set before ourselves. Okay, this is what we follow. Just like the children of Israel followed the cloud, okay, and the pillar of fire and the pillar of water, okay, during the night and during the day. Okay, they followed that which was revealed to them. Okay, that angel, okay, wherein God concealed his name. Okay, that as long as they were obedient to that angel, they would experience his mercy and his peace, and that there would be equity, okay, in word and deed. But in verse 14, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, okay, as concerning not to struggle with that which the Spirit has revealed. Okay, because if you struggle with that which the Spirit revealed, it's because of your being double-minded, you're carnal-minded. You're trying to fit the revelation of God into the perspective of your aspiration, and that will violate the plan of God. Okay? But if you violate the plan of God, then you're not going to be blameless and harmless. Okay, as Paul brings out in Philippians again, chapter 2, verse 15. To be blameless and harmless is to be innocent without offense towards God. If you want to be innocent without offense towards him as sons of God, okay, you have to continually hold forth that word of life. In verse 16, that word of life is what Paul's bringing out here, and back in Ephesians, which I'm jumping back to here. Okay, because this is the Spirit that strengthens us in the inner man, and this is that power that works our salvation. Okay, which he brings out also in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? So the angels of the Lord are bringing to us this knowledge and this experience. The things of God's kingdom is beyond the experience of the flesh, so he has to grant it to us for us to experience these things. Okay, just like the children of Israel. Okay, the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, the only thing that they had for their experience was the word of their the word of the patriarchs. Okay, and the books of Enoch. Okay, that's the only thing they had is concerning their experience until God intervened. Okay, and God intervened by sending Moses with that angel which manifested himself to him in that burning bush. Okay, now that angel which worked with Moses, okay, was the experience with the children of Israel also going to enter into. Okay, and we see that in the book of Hebrews. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, in Hebrews 11, okay, around verse 24-25, verse 27, okay, we can see the pattern here. Moses being the third generation, we can see the fourth generation coming up, but here in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Okay, that was the established system. For he endured, as seeing him who was invisible. Okay, and him who was invisible is an angel which appeared to him in that bush. Now Moses could see that angel, but nobody else could see that angel. Okay, and that's an angel that guided him. Okay, and that angel also manifested himself, okay, as a pillar of fire and as a pillar of vapor. Okay, and that's the angel that sanctified the children of Israel. And that's also the angel that wrought the miracles. Okay, that spoke to Moses and wrought the miracles. Okay, now back in Ephesians here, Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, now understanding that, okay, we can see, all right, okay, may be able to comprehend with all saints, okay, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Okay, we talked about that, okay, which is beyond our own perception, and also beyond that which is our own experience, because God had to grant this to us. And by granting this to us, he was granting us Christ. By granting us Christ, he is granting us his fullness, which he brings out here, might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then we come to verse 20 again, in which we're supposed to beginning with. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Okay, now again, beyond the restrictions, okay, of our present state, okay, above all that we ask or think, okay, that which has to do with the restrictions, okay, of the flesh. Now, how does he do this? Look at get your highlighter, and highlight the word power. He does this by his power. Okay, he doesn't do this by precept. Okay, precept can complement the intellect. Okay, and the precept also can sympathize with the flesh. Okay, but the power only sympathizes with Christ. Okay, taking the perspective of the throne. And look at here, he says, the power that works. Okay, this is that spirit that labors in us. Okay, and by laboring in us, okay, it's bringing forth fruit that we're continually bearing. We're bearing or bringing forth the image of him. Okay, okay, as he continually circumcises our understanding, okay, our hearts and our mind, okay, that we continually see things from his perspective. Okay, and that things that we experience are being set in order for his glory. Okay, which is his fruit. Okay, which is his virtue. Okay, that power that sustains us. Okay, forever. So unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus. Okay, this is how we're overcoming. Okay, we're overcoming through this form of fellowship. Okay, we're overcoming by this form of fellowship. A good example of this is that which Jesus communicated to his apostles in the Gospel of John. Okay, when he was sanctifying them with his presence, okay, and sanctifying them with his presence, he sanctified them with his word, and he communicated unto them these things, And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, here the Lord Jesus was sharing to his apostles concerning a divine pattern of fellowship. In order for this divine pattern of fellowship to be sustained, we have to keep his commandments. Okay, the commandments have to do with that which is of his ordered activity. Okay, this ordered activity, that is of this second covenant, not the ordered activity of that first covenant, okay, which Jesus fulfilled in himself. Okay, when he said of himself, okay, suffer it to be so that we fulfill all righteousness. Now Jesus is saying that to John the Baptist. Okay, that John the Baptist, okay, was concluding, okay, that first covenant, a Levitical priesthood, seeing that John the Baptist was of Levi, he was concluding that, okay, and he was transferring that to Christ, to Jesus Christ, being of Judah. So we can see the priesthood and also the kingship. Okay, John the Baptist concluding it, and Jesus now beginning it. Okay, and that's why he says, "Sever it thus be so that we, both you and I, John, that we fulfill all righteousness." And we know what righteousness is. Righteousness has to do with meeting God's expectation of that standard. Okay, this is the plan of God. Okay, and this plan of God is being fulfilled. Okay, it's being concluded in you, John, and being transferred to me. And that's what John said. As I must decrease and he must increase. Okay, he is the beginning of a new kingdom, a new policy, a new song, okay, a new wine. Okay, and so by saying these things, Jesus set a new record. Okay, he became, chief of his house, just like Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. So also Jesus as a son was faithful in all his house, okay, as a son of God, that he will begin a new house. Okay, and this house was going to be functioning under different rules, okay, other than that first house, which is temporary, okay, and on the second house, which is be far greater and exceeding glory. Okay, which house is Christ? Okay, which house we are? Seeing that we're born of him, as the Apostle John brings out. Where he says, "Beloved, now are you the sons of God," okay, which is his offspring. Okay, and this is the offspring which his house is being increased by, and we see that in the book of the prophets. Okay, whereas he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That the word "he shall see his seed," okay, is not that of the physical, but of the spiritual. Okay, and we see that in the next chapter, okay, in chapter 54 of the book of Isaiah. Okay, where he says, "Sing, O barren, you do not bear, and break forth in singing, cry aloud, you did not travail with child." Okay, for more of the children of the fatherless than the children of the married wife. So we can see that his seed was going to increase through an engaging, okay, of covenant. Okay, that's which he brings out. "He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Okay, and how will the seed be born? "He shall see the travail of soul and shall be satisfied." And how will this travail take place? Of course, on the cross. But how will this be known? Through his knowledge. Okay, and his knowledge will increase his house. Okay, and through his sacrifice, we see that in verse 12, okay, of Isaiah 53:12, last verse there. So here, saying all that, we come to verse 21. "Unto him be glory." See, so we, okay, are now partaking of this pattern which he provided for us in this new knowledge. This new knowledge is now what sanctifies us. Okay, it sanctifies us concerning this priesthood, the priesthood of Melchizedek, okay, through Jesus Christ. So we see that through Abraham came the inheritance, and through the Melchizedek came the priesthood. And Jesus fulfilled both, okay, in that. Okay, when Melchizedek met Abraham, okay, we see the joining of these two together. Okay, this was Christ being manifested. Okay, and Abraham offered unto Melchizedek a portion in the acknowledgement that the flesh, okay, would be subject to the spirit. Okay, that the flesh being subject to the spirit would rule. Now we can see the joining of these two kingdoms together again in the book of Revelation. Okay, we're in the book of Revelation chapter 21. Okay, and where the Apostle John makes a goes into detail the description of the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is our mother. Okay, and he talks about the glory of it. And he said, "I saw therein no temple, okay, for the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb is a light thereof, and the Lord is that temple, and the light." Okay, we see the joining of these two kingdoms together. He talks about the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The Lamb represented that of the flesh, which was Abraham, which was going to continue to transfer this inheritance to the Gentiles. And we see also the light of his knowledge, okay, also the Melchizedek ministry, okay, through the Father. Okay, so we see these two kingdoms joining together again, once again. Okay, so that we see that in Abraham 2,000 years before Christ, and we're going to see it again 2,000 years after his passion, okay, as we enter into this new millennium, okay, where we see the heaven and earth. There's going to be a new heavens and new earth. So what was written there by the prophet, saying, "O barren, you do not bear," will now be fulfilled, okay, in the book of Revelation, okay, as concerning that only those which are pure heart will enter into this and will continue to increase the glory of God, and that's why we must be put in the robes of His glory. So unto Him be glory. Okay, I'm back in Ephesians again. Unto Him be glory, unto Him the Lamb of God. Okay, through the Lamb of God, we will inherit His light. Okay, now this is progressive. Unto Him be glory in the church, because we are the church. Okay, whereas both, in heaven and earth is named. And we see that again in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul brings that out. All right, in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Abraham looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we see that in chapter 11. Okay, but then also in chapter 12, he says, "But you," in chapter 12, verse 22, okay, "But you are come to Mount Zion," S-I-O-N, and that's in heaven. Okay, Mount Zion in heaven, okay, was the pattern for Zion on earth to reflect. Okay, Mount Zion, S-I-O-N, in heaven, which was to be reflected, okay, in that which is on earth. And this is what Jesus was communicating to the Jews of his time. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The pattern which is in heaven must be reflected in earth for your peace. Okay, and God showed that when he put the bow in the clouds, okay, after the flood, okay, after the destruction, okay, of Noah's flood, the deluge in that time. Okay, when he put the bow in the cloud, okay, that a peace would rule, but only through covenant. Okay, as he was communicating that to Noah. Okay, so we see in verse 22, Hebrews 12, 22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels." And this is what the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints here. "Okay, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." There's the word church again, which he says in Ephesians. "Which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect." Okay, this is what we're joined to. See, we're joined to that which is of in heaven. Okay, which Paul brings out earlier. Okay, in his epistle here, he's revealing to the church concerning the history of the Hebrews. Okay, or the Jewish race. And he brings that out in chapter 4. Okay, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Okay, now this the throne of grace, which we just read in Hebrews chapter 12, okay, is Mount Zion in heaven. Okay, and it's Mount Zion in heaven, okay, that we are tethered to, and that we have this new perspective, okay, which is Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now we go back to Ephesians. "So now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." Okay, seeing that we're tethered to the throne, and our perspective, okay, which was tethered to darkness, is now being circumcised by a new knowledge, a new song, a new birth, okay, new wine, okay, according to this power. Okay, this is the power of Christ, which is circumcising us, okay, through their cycles of growth. which I brought out earlier in the Gospel of John. Okay, so the circumcision, okay, is continually active within us. Okay, as we continue to engage God through, first of all, our prayers. See, because prayer prepares the path for the Spirit. Okay, and the Spirit prepares the path for the answer. And through this answer, okay, we continually fellowship with God. Okay, and this is what Jesus brings out to his apostles. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Okay, through this form of engagement and your cycle of growth, a fellowship, okay, is being nurtured. All right, and how is this being nurtured? Because I'm standing at the door and knocking. All right, as he brings out in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open a door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So we see a form of exchange, okay, a form of petitioning. Okay, so prayer, that's why prayer is so important. Pray without ceasing, Paul says. Okay, because through this form of engagement, our fellowship with God remains fresh. Okay, as the manna is provided every morning for us. Okay, as we eat the manna of the Lord every day. So through this form of petitioning, okay, and through this form of engagement, that's why praying in tongues is vital. Okay, through this form for this form of engagement. Okay, because we're speaking in the language of angels. Okay, and through this form of engagement, okay, we continue to remain tethered to the throne. Okay, and remaining tethered to the throne, we also continue to communicate those things which God granted to us, and that form of communication is apart from covetousness. Okay, as Paul brings out in the book of Hebrews again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can see again, the presence of God, okay, is there through this form of engagement. Okay, and through this form of engagement, again, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our fellowship will continually remain afresh as I'm dining with you. Okay, as you're receiving of my portions of grace, his portions of grace, wisdom and knowledge and understanding, okay, through the preaching of the gospel, okay, through the communion of prayer, the communion of the Holy Ghost, okay, and our an expression of charity one to another. Okay, we can see how these things remain afresh, okay, as the manna. And that's why Jesus transferred those things of the physical appetite to the spiritual appetite. It wasn't Moses that gave you that manna from heaven. It was my Father that gave you that manna from heaven, and I am that living manna. Okay, God was showing that he would sustain those that would believe on him. Okay, just like the angels of heaven are sustained through their communion with God, as they continue to drink of him. Okay, so anytime an angel would make petition to God, the answer would be within the wells of wisdom and the fountains of wisdom. See, so the angel, even angels make petitions to God, okay, and then they would drink of the well of wisdom, and that which came to the forefront of their mind, okay, was a word from the Lord. And that's what we do. We do the same thing. You make your petitions unto the Lord, okay, and then we engage with this form of communion. The angels have to do it, and we have to do it, okay. But they bring unto us the word of the Lord, okay. And so when we make petition, we await that answer, okay, and that which the Spirit reveals to us is what we hold forth, okay. And this what we hold forth is that word of life, without murmuring and disputing, okay. Without murmuring and disputing. Okay, so here, finishing up verse 21 here, unto him be glory in the church. Okay, so through this form of communion, that power continually sustained us, which is bringing us this form of communion of the Holy Ghost, okay, and through this form of engagement, okay, he is granting us experience, okay, as Paul brings out in Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, if you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, tasted of that, okay, and partakers of the good word of God, okay, and also as we experience the powers of the world to come. Okay, there's about five things there that he says in Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, this glory which he's imparting to us, okay, he's engrafting, and what he's engrafting, he's nurturing in us, and what he's nurturing within us is coming to maturity through this form of engagement. Okay, through every day, okay, we're partaking of the glory of God. Okay, unto him be glory in the church. Okay, what he's engrafting within us is that true vine, which this is what Jesus communicated to the apostles, and this is what the apostles are expounding on, expanding on to the church. Okay, whereas Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, so continually remain engrafted unto me, and you will increase with my increase. Okay, and what I issue to you, okay, will become running over. Okay, will run, as Paul brings out also in Ephesians, okay, pressed down, which Jesus said to the earlier, and what the apostles were expounding on to the church. Okay, good measure, pressed down, running over. Okay, from that which every joint is supplied with is what every joint is issuing. According to the measure, every part makes increase the body and the edifying itself in love. We see that in chapter 4, verse 16, and we'll be expounding more on that here. Okay, but here he says, world without end. Okay, now, if we didn't understand what the plan of God was, okay, then we would have to exempt that, which is in the book of Revelation, whereas the Apostle John said, I saw a new heavens and a new earth. Okay, so how do these two things here in chapter 3, verse 21, how does chapter 3, verse 21, okay, how can we interpret that in the light of chapter 21, verse 1 of the book of Revelation? Okay, because what Jesus is, or what Paul is speaking of right here, okay, is talking about world without end is concerning the system of God which he's provided for us through Jesus Christ, okay, will continually be perpetual, even in new heavens and new earth. Okay, that which he is grafted in us now, which is prospering in us right now at this present time, okay, is continually going to be unfolding in the next covenant. Okay, that which you're experiencing now in the second covenant, which is the mystery of Christ, is continually being unfolded in its fullness in the third covenant. Okay, right now what you're receiving from God is like through an eyedropper. Okay, it's like an eyedropper. Okay, but then, okay, when what you're receiving right now is an eyedropper in comparison to that which is yet to come, which is as the fullness of the ocean. Okay, and the ocean is full of life. Okay, full of many different things. Okay, beginning, you know, from the coastal lines unto the abysses. Okay, as even those things which you're receiving now from God, it's like on the coastal lines. Okay, but it's just an eyedropper. Okay, of wisdom, an eyedropper. It's just a portion of him right now. Okay, which is beneficial for our obedience to him. Okay, but then the governor will be removed. Okay, which is death. Death will be removed. So that governor being removed, which is the enemy, the last enemy that should be destroyed is death. Okay, and when that's removed, and that governor is removed, and we enter into the fullness of that ocean. Okay, right now we're just drinking a portion of him. Okay, but then we should be as wide, as deep as the ocean. Okay, and in our experience, and that itself is without restriction. Okay, that itself is without restriction. So world without end, amen. He says right here, it will continually increase with the increase of God. Okay, as the light of God increases, okay, as everything increases with him, okay, in the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, now beginning in chapter 4, we can see as we continue on here, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Now, when the Apostle Paul says prisoner, it's not always in regards to his physically being behind bars. Okay, as in some kind of a jail cell. Okay, but saying when he says a prisoner of Christ, he's saying as one bound to the altar of the Lord, I'm bound to the Spirit. Okay, I therefore the prisoner of the Spirit. Okay, that which rules over me, Christ. I therefore, now when he says a prisoner of the Lord, I'm bound to the altar of the Lord by which also we're increasing. We're increasing by our activity of this priesthood. Okay, that which the power or his Spirit enters into for increase. Okay, so we're increasing with the increase of God. All right, and knowledge, and all charity, and our faith, okay, and our understanding. Okay, these are watermarks. Okay, that never recede. Okay, the watermarks of the Spirit shall never recede in us. Okay, because if we continue, okay, faithfully in these things, if we continue to abound in these things, okay, we shall never be barren of the knowledge of the Lord, as Peter said. Okay, the Apostle Peter said that. Okay, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, which means the understanding that they received at that point of time begins to recede. Okay, and it begins to recede. You can see the watermark. Okay, and that which they understood begins to fade away. Okay, but we must continually labor, as Paul said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and love which you have showed towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Okay, which means the watermark will never be seen, because the water is continually increasing. Okay, and our experience with the Lord is always increasing from day to day. Okay, so that our understanding increasing. Okay, we're no longer thinking from the perspective of little children. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out, and as the Apostle John brings out. Okay, the Apostle John brings out. Okay, that those which are still little children are understanding. Okay, are continually struggling with their, with their new birth. Okay, and their perspective is still being dominated by the former education, false knowledge. See, this is what's being circumcised out of our thinking patterns. Okay, because we're being re-educated. Okay, every day we're being re-educated. Okay, through this form of circumcision. So He's circumcising our hearts and our minds by placing within our hearts and our minds a new law. Okay, and He's sealing within us this new law by dreams and by visions, okay, and by the gospel which is being preached unto you, okay, which is our true liberty, okay, our true liberty, being free from the condemnation which is under that law, okay, that law, okay, that law which Moses received only identified, okay, the restrictions of the flesh, okay, and the restrictions of the flesh, this has to do, okay, He was setting boundaries for the expressions of the flesh. Okay, that flesh cannot please God. And we know flesh cannot please God. Okay, because God, as the Apostle Paul brings out, okay, as concerning the vile flesh. That's why he used the word vile in the book of Philippians. Okay, now the Spirit of the Lord did this intentionally, so that we would find no confidence in our flesh. So the Apostle Paul had to bring it to the attention of the church. Okay, whereas he says, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Okay, who shall change our vile body. So the reason why he says the word vile, okay, in Philippians, okay, is to bring to our understanding that there's nothing within this flesh that can please God. Okay, and you know, he says this here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Okay, so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, he says this, who shall change your vile body? Okay, then it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Okay, so the reason why Paul said that, again, vile body, was that nothing of the soil can please God. Okay, nothing of this dimension that's marked by time and it springs of the soil, which includes yourself, okay, cannot please God. Well, what's in the body he's talking about? Okay, that which has to do with the signature and its talents, okay, its associations and its traditions. That's why he calls it a vile body. Okay, and he brings it out too. The vile body, okay, which reaffirms that in chapter 3. He says right here, we who are the circumcision, okay, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's the vile body. Okay, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinks that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Now this is why he calls it vile. Circumcised the eighth day. Circumcision will not save you. The stock of Israel, association or race will not save you. The tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrews, the touching law of Pharisee. So the Ten Commandments will not save you. Okay, nor the priesthood of Moses will save you. And a concerning zeal persecuting the church. Okay, of course, persecuting church, that definitely will not save you, won't it? Okay, touching the righteousness of the law, he says, blameless. Okay, that which is a precept, I was blameless. Okay, but as concerning, but these things are vile. And why does he call them vile? Well, he used, in place of the word vile, he also used the word dung. Okay, the word dung there. when he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus," not Moses, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, from whom we have suffered a loss of all things, which has to do with the contact points of this world. Okay, every religion in this world uses physical things in order to express, to try to express their faith with, which is vile. Okay, and why is it vile? "And do count them but dung that I may win Christ." So he counts them dung. And then see the word dung there he uses, and he used the word vile at the very end of that one chapter. Okay, that's why he has to change us and translate us from darkness to light, that we will have no confidence in the flesh, nor confidence in precept, nor confidence in associations, nor confidence in the signature of man, neither we have any confidence in the moral code, okay, which dictates those things which are vile. It tries to give that which is vile a makeover. It's like dumping perfume, okay, on dung, okay, dumping perfume on dung will not change the composition of it, okay. It may give it a nice smelling, but it's not going to change its composition. So back to chapter 4 of Ephesians. "I therefore, a prisoner, Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation." This is what we're called to. We're called to His fullness. Okay, wherewith we are called. We're called to His fullness. So highlight the word vocation there in chapter 4, verse 1. And draw a line from the word vocation. Okay, if you have a highlighter there, draw a line from the word vocation. Okay, up to His fullness. Okay, filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah, that's what we're called to, His fullness. We're called to Christ Jesus. Okay, we're called to be clothed in the garments of light. Okay, not in vile garments. The vile garments is what Adam and Eve were concealed in. Okay, after they lost the glory of that light, when the glory of that light receded, okay, from outside inside, okay, it became defiled, because that which is the flesh became dominant over that which is the spirit. Okay, but of course Christ changed that. Okay, that's why when we come into covenant with Him, okay, we now put on the garments of His praise. The garments of His praise has to do with the virtues of the priesthood, which we're expressing with the fruit of our lips. Okay, the fruit of our lips are expressing that from the foundation of the heart. So that if we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, that Christ died on the cross, and that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Romans, like Romans 10:9-10. Okay, "I therefore, the prisoner, Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy." So the word "walk" right there has to do in cadence with. Okay, in cadence with. Okay, keeping in rhythm of the Spirit, walking worthy. Keeping in rhythm of the Spirit, we will experience His fullness, that power which was working within us. This is the true church, being grafted not into the soil but into the throne. Okay, fellowshipping with the citizens of saints. Okay, fellowshipping with those which are in heaven. Okay, our fellowship is with the angels, which He brings out in Hebrews. Okay, wherewith you are called to be saints. Okay, with all lowliness. Okay, our fellowship is not with the aspiration. Okay, which works. Our aspiration then would be connected with high-mindedness and headiness and pride, okay, which is the perspective of man. Okay, the perspective of man, okay, is to compete with his fellow man and to dominate, to overrule, okay, or to control or to destroy. Okay, in other words, to set things in order according to his perspective and his pleasure. Okay, but that's the opposite of lowliness. Okay, lowliness has to do with an enduring subjection. Okay, because we are relying upon God's consistency. Okay, we're relying on God's consistency. Okay, trust is developed within us because of truth. Okay, our understanding is increased. Okay, with all lowliness and meekness. Now, meekness does not mean weakness. Okay, meekness here has to do with a consistency, okay, of this lowliness. The same thing with Moses. Okay, Moses was considered a very meek man. Okay, but meekness does not mean weakness. Okay, he was meek because he emptied himself of aspiration. Okay, when a person is full of aspiration, they become very competitive and high-minded. Okay, and with that also the moral code continues to dictate to them, okay, their worthiness. Okay, but the moral code does not dictate the worthiness of the faithful. God affirms those things, as Jesus said to the Pharisees. Okay, as concerning that, they were seeking the honor of men. Okay, the honor of men would dictate or confirm, okay, the moral code of their contemporaries. Okay, that is that and by doing that, they would find equity between themselves. That's the equity of the flesh, and the equity of the flesh itself is imbalanced. Okay, it doesn't possess any equity. Okay, it's very passing, very temporary. Okay, it's like wood on, fire. Okay, wood on fire provides heat for the body. Okay, but it's very passing, it's very temporary. So it's labor, it must be continuously engaged. Okay, or you say you have to continually engage in that. You have to continually keep wood on the fire in order to keep a certain level of heat. Okay, in the house. Okay, if you have a fireplace. Okay, you have to continually engage that. And you notice that which with each log that you put in there, there's a lot of variables that result of that. Okay, there's a slight dimming. Okay, and then there's an increasing depending upon what kind of kindling you put in that. If you just throw dry grass on it, there's immediately a flame of heat. If you get too close, you end up singeing your eyebrows. Okay, but then you put a log on. Okay, there's a diminishing, then there's a slight increasing, and then there's an overheating, and then it goes up and down and up and down. Okay, but that is the equity of Adam's. Okay, of Adam's perceptions. Okay, it's always in engaging of their labor, of their pride. Okay, the opposite of lowliness. But the meekness right here is as the soul is being emptied, okay, of the aspirations because of faith. Okay, remember, in the absence of faith, okay, is the aggression of one's covetousness. Okay, and a covetousness also produces a form of idolatry. And that's what the Apostle John says. Little children, okay, keep yourselves from idols, amen. Okay, because the idol is a result, okay, of one's philosophy of life because of what one person is associating with. Okay, associating with your traditions, your customs, whatever it is there, which works with the moral code. Okay, well, let's go back here now to Ephesians, with all lowliness and meekness. Okay, so there's a consistency of there's an emptying. And then there's the same time, okay, there is a restoring. And that's what God does within us, the work of work of regeneration. Okay, as God is working within you, he's removing one thing, and at the same time he's removing it, okay, he's replacing it, okay, with his presence. He's replacing it with his craftsmanship, okay, which Paul brings out earlier concerning we are his workmanship. Okay, so with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering and forbearing, one another in love. So charity is a disseminating factor and distributing factor, okay, of all the other virtues which are born within you. So as you continue to express love one to another, first loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor and yourself, that's the distributing factor of all the other virtues which are being born within you. Okay, and through these things, through the engaging of charity, we are forbearing one another in charity. Okay, forbearing one another in love. So through this form of exchange, we are assisting each other from putting forth the hand unto iniquitous things, from touching the unclean thing. That's the same thing the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. Okay, and the same thing he was quoting from the prophets. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, the prophets were quoting from Moses. Okay, concerning killing the children of Israel. Don't touch the unclean thing. Okay, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, so through the expression of charity, okay, we are forbearing, we're caring as assisting, okay, at the same time, okay, we are promoting, okay, we're promoting the focus of holiness, touching those things which are holy, so that we can fulfill that which the Lord said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Okay, that's what Peter said. Okay, and Peter, of course, was quoting from the prophets. Okay, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Because God's saying, I am your point of contact. And by coming in contact with me, we will continually engage in this level of holiness, myself. Because only that which is equal to God can touch God. So that's why God has to issue us his grace so that we can be joined to him, being equal to him, with these tools. Be holy, for I am holy. As Paul said again, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, without this form of engagement, without this form of connection, without this form of contact, without this form of touching, we will never see the Lord. We will never behold this mystery of Christ if we refrain from the things which God gave to us. That's why we must touch him with the things he provided for us. What God revealed to Moses, he says, I want the children of Israel to touch these things, and then I will reveal myself to them. And then Jesus gave tools to his apostles. I want you to give the church these things to touch me, and then they shall see me. And through this form of engagement, we behold the face of the Lord. And when we behold the face of the Lord, then we understand his fear. We understand his mercy. So in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Now the word long suffering has to do, enduring contrariness over a long period of time. Jesus was long suffering with his apostles, just like God is long suffering with us, and that through the long suffering of the Lord, we shall be saved, as the apostle Peter brings out. Peter understood that mostly after he denied the Lord 3 times. Lord, you are so long suffering with us. He says, even after I denied you 3 times, to spare my own flesh, you still accept us, and you continually encourage us to feed your sheep. That's the long suffering of the Lord. And Peter understood that through the long suffering of the Lord is our salvation. Because the Lord sees the Lord sees the outcome. He knows the result. At the end of the assembly line. At the beginning of the assembly line, you see everything in parts. But as these things become together, as these things come together, at the conclusion of it, like an assembly line, an auto assembly line, at the very end, you see a product. And that product is given a seal. At the very end, the seal is put on it saying, this represents our craftsmanship, and our skills and our technology. And that's why God puts his seal of approval within us, because through each cycle of growth, he accepts you as you are. That's the long-suffering of the Lord. And as God is long-suffering with us, because we're lower than himself, we also have to be long-suffering with one another. Because our perspectives, our principles, vary with our neighbor. They vary. So we love our neighbor as ourself. Engaging on the level of charity. So we're long-suffering. We're enduring the contrariness, over a long period of time, over an extended period of time, throughout the ages, throughout the ages, as God is, and forbearing one another in charity. And this is why, keep this aim in mind, he says, endeavoring, keeping this focus, like keeping your sights in this target, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit. Charity, which distributes all these other virtues, will keep us bound together, so that we all increase with each other. If one saint lacks, that lack which that saint is experiencing, is a reflection of our own weakness. But if one saint abounds, that the abounding of that saint also reflects our diligence. It reflects our diligence. So that's why we continue to assist each other in our growth through your prayers and through your sacrifices, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, through all these tools which God has issued forth from the throne, sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, these things. With these things, we keep the bond, the bond of peace. As he says right here, this is our crown. The resulting work of the Spirit is a crown of peace. And that's what the apostle said, and that's what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives give I unto you. But what I give unto you, I'm going to give you my peace. Okay, my peace comes with my knowledge, and my knowledge comes from my kingdom. Okay. The peace of the world is very transient. Okay, it's here and it's gone. It's all based upon circumstances and feelings. Okay, but my peace is on the foundation, okay, of my kingdom. Okay, the tools of the covenant. Okay, now we can start with verse 4 right here. We have a few minutes left. Now there is one body, all right, which I brought out earlier. Okay, that which is the weakest, okay, or that which is lacking, okay, is a reflection of our own lack. But that which is increasing is a reflection of our diligence. Okay, so that's why it's important that we uphold one another in charity, expressing charity through the tools which God's given to us, right? The tools of tongues, okay, the tools of all these other things which he granted to us, dreams and visions and prophecy, okay, which the Apostle Peter made known on the day of Pentecost. Okay, now you made service of God. Now on the day of Pentecost, he stood up. Okay, on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and he began to prophesy. Okay, when you were service to Moses, you served him with carnal things. Okay, but now, from this point on, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, and you shall serve me by spirit now. Okay, and my service, my communion and my service to you shall be with these things. Okay, with prophecy. Okay, so my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay, and then he says upon that, and I will pour in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. These are your initial tools by which I will commune with you, which my angels, my spirit, okay, will be sent forth, okay, and will grant to you. Even when you're sleeping, I'm going to be working within you. Okay, even when you're sleeping, I'm communing with you. Okay, and we see this through our level 1 dreams. Okay, so that's where we become one body. Okay, this is what the church desires. Okay, the sand people desire these things. Okay, but they're in pursuit of this union through the aspiration. Okay, and the aspiration, okay, is not that which God sanctified to unite us with. Okay, under that first covenant, okay, we can see that everything was joined together, okay, with gold threading. Okay, with gold threading, they would unite the vestments of the priesthood. Okay, being united together with that gold thread, which is the work of the Spirit. Okay, and also the silver. Okay, so we see gold, silver, and precious stones, which were put in that first vestment. Okay, these were things which are beneficial for your priesthood. Okay, and they're all united together with the thread of the Spirit, that gold thread. Okay, but you can't thread the things of the Spirit with carnal things. You can't unite the things of the body of Christ with carnal things. Okay, communion, baptisms, tithing, okay, or circumcision, or Sabbath day observation. Though that is not the gold thread that unites the body. Okay, the gold thread that unites the body are those things which Christ sanctified. Okay, the gifts of callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, of these things of this covenant. Okay, which Peter announced on the day of Pentecost. Okay, from now on, your service toward God must be through these things. Okay, as Peter announced on Pentecost. So this is what unites the body together. Okay, his charity with these things is what we express. Okay, which is the bond of peace. There's one body and one spirit. Okay, there it says it right there, doesn't it, in verse 4. Okay, even as you called in one hope of your calling. Okay, of course, that one hope has to do with the, not only that which is present, which God is presently working within you, okay, but that one hope also has to do with the inheritance of your calling. Okay, which God is engaging with you now, okay, is in respect of that which is yet in the future. Okay, and now he says right here, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, okay, which of course is the baptism of the Spirit. Okay, there's one God. And Father of all, which is above all, through all, and in you all. There's a God code right there. The God code is played out in the hearts of all the saints which walk by faith. Okay, but that which is played out with faith is the eternal things. But that which is played out by the moral code is the temporal things. Okay, the God code working with the signature of man, which works in the moral code, okay, is temporal, okay, and is very short-sighted and blind. Okay, but the God code, which is played out, which he's working in through us and in us all, okay, that which is played out by faith is eternal and will be sustained by the Spirit. The Spirit will carry these things into the next dimension. And by carrying these things in the next dimension, you will not be found naked. Okay, but those which do not carry the work of Christ within them now will be found naked on the other side. And being found naked on the other side, they will not be worthy to enter the presence of the King. Because only those that carry a gift within them, a gift with them, okay, are allowed in the presence of the King. Okay, there is one God and Father of all who is above all, through all, and in you all. Okay, so here we see the God code being played out. Okay, as also written in the book of Acts. Okay, where it's also written in one of the poets. Paul quoted from one of the poets of his time, right, in order to convey a thought to the Athenians. Okay, it's concerning a God, who created all things, is not sustained by things which he's created. He is in need of nothing. Okay, by which we dwell within him. Okay, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. Now it comes right back to that point, doesn't it? Okay, because our origin, which is the bosom of the Father, is also our destiny. Okay, the origin is our destiny. And we can see this played out when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Well, how did they get in Egypt in the first place? Because God took them from the origin of the patriarchs to bring them into the destiny of the inheritance, to fulfill that. Okay, what was promised in Abraham was fulfilled, okay, at that point of time, 450 years later. Okay, and this is the same thing with us. What was promised in Christ is now will be fulfilled in him. Okay, but right now we're going through this time of breach. Okay, we're going through this time of testing. Okay, until we enter into that fullness. But unto every one of us is given grace, so that we can perform the duties of this. Okay, as the end of chapter 3, the power that works in us. So unto every one of us is given grace. God is assisting us through this transition. Okay, with these tools, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's when he ascended into heaven. And we'll see this here. Wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay, now that he ascended, okay, no longer earthbound, now seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay, now that he ascended, what is it? How is it that God is communicating to us now? But first also, that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That is to bring redemption, right, to those which believed on him prior to that. And now he that descended into lower parts, okay, is now going to rule over all kingdoms. Okay, ruling over all kingdoms. So he that descended, the same also is, that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, and that's what's going to happen again in the 10th week. In the 10th week, everything is going to bear the likeness of his equity, that there be no longer any kind of breach, okay, within his plan, because we're all inside of him, inside the Holy City, New Jerusalem. All right, and here we can see when he gave, right, the gifts that he gave was for the purpose of officiating his invisible kingdom in this physical dimension. And how was he going to do this? Through his government. That's the first thing he's going to do, is through his government. And it's going to be sustained by the government. Okay, because by a prophet, the children of Israel were delivered, and by a prophet, they were sustained, as it says in Hosea. Okay, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. And we're going to have to stop right there, and we'll pick up here again next week.